Good evening, everyone. My supreme privilege to present to you the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I'd like to welcome each person here. There's someone here who's never heard the gospel before. My intention is to open this book, the Word of God, the Bible, and present a few verses of the Lord Jesus and His love to you. And I would ask you that if you don't understand when we're done tonight, we only have a few minutes. If there's something that you want to talk about further, please stay behind. There's many that would be very happy to spend some time over the Word of God with you. And so let's begin with hymn number 7. This is a hymn that is dear to my heart. It's dear to my heart because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. And so it's with joy that I sing this song. And I would encourage each believer who is here tonight to sing along to from the bottom of your heart. Let's give God the praise by singing this song about the Lord Jesus Christ. Can someone start it, please?
God loves the world of sin.
Before we open the Word of God, I would like to ask help from God. So let's bow our head in prayer. Our blessed God and our Father, tonight we are here, the last meeting of this conference, another gospel meeting, the good news of how Jesus came from heaven to die for sinners. We thank Thee tonight for each person in this room who is trusting in the Lord Jesus as their way to heaven when they leave this world. We pray for anyone here tonight who is not sure where they will be when they leave here. And we just would pray, Lord, for salvation for anyone who is lost. We thank Thee again for going to the cross, for giving Thy precious blood so that sinners could have their sins forgiven. We ask for Thy help tonight and Thy I care. In Jesus' precious name, amen. When I first got here to the meetings 3 days ago, I met one of my friends who I went to Otter Lake with when I was probably 16 years old. It's a few years ago now. We chummed around a little bit, and we've become good friends and remain friends. He's a dear Christian man. His comment to me was, Paul, would you be willing to take the gospel on Monday night? I wasn't expecting that from him. I told him with the Lord's help, I'd be privileged to do that. Like I said, I've known this man since I was 16 years old. I didn't know a side of him until Friday. He put his head down when he asked me to speak tonight. He said, Paul, I'm afraid for the kids. The children, I'm afraid there's some that are going to be at the conference, that are going to be at the gospel meeting, and they're not saved. Tonight I would ask you, are you saved? You don't have to answer that to me. But tonight God is pleading with you, and He wants you to accept His Son, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior. He wants you to get saved tonight. You have the opportunity right now to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior too. You know, there was a brother in the prayer meeting back there in the corner tonight, and it was so encouraging to me. You know, he talked a little bit about how people might get saved tonight. But then he spoke about the rest of their life here in this world and the joy that it is to be a Christian. You know, it's grand to be a Christian. It's a privilege. It's wonderful to be able to go to sleep at night and know that if you pass away, you know right where you're going to be. You're going to be in the presence of God. Your sins are gone. You don't worry about your sins anymore. You know that they're paid for by one who loved you enough to die for you. You know, the gospel is a wonderful story about the heart of God. God who wanted a bride for His Son. And so He sent His Son to die on the cross so that anyone who accepts His Son as their Savior can have their sins forgiven by God. And then they can be part of His bride in a coming day for all eternity. A little while ago, I met another boy that was one of my friends when I went to Bible conferences with my parents. And you know what? He doesn't come to meeting anymore. In fact, he hasn't been to meeting for a long time. And you know, that makes me sad. But he told me this. He said, you know, we were talking about conferences because he enjoyed going to them when he was a boy, just like I did after I got saved. He said, you know, one thing about conferences was those old gospel preachers. He said, you know, I think I got saved 20 times at gospel meetings. And I looked at him and I said, 20 times? He said, yeah. Because, you know, there were so many faithful gospels when I sat in Bible meetings like this. He said, I got saved just to make sure that I was really saved. I knew what he meant. There were times where I really didn't have peace as a young boy. And I asked the Lord Jesus to be my Savior. You know, there was a time where the work was real in my heart. I knew I was saved. Tonight, do you know if you're saved? Are you sure? And if you're not sure, accept the Lord Jesus tonight as your Savior. Get down on your knees. Tell him that you've sinned. He'll be glad to save your soul. I've been reflecting a little bit about the time of year. We do a little gospel work at home, and at this time of year, the older ones at the retirement home like me to talk about the Lord Jesus and how he was born. And I do, because I'm so thankful that he was born here. You know, the Lord Jesus came here as a little baby. The very eternal Son of God came as a helpless little baby, and we know the story in Bethlehem's manger. I'm so glad he came. You know, I've been reflecting about this. You know, it's okay to walk down the street and tell people, did you know that Jesus was born as a little baby in the manger of Bethlehem? And they'll say, oh, yeah. You know, this time of year, Christmas time, yeah, we talk about that. It's something that's important to me. You walk a little further and you say to the next man, you know, when Jesus was here on earth, Jesus was a good man. He healed people. People that were blind, he gave them sight. Lepers, he touched them. He cured them. He cleansed them. People had all kinds of problems. He made them better. He fed people. He cast out devils, evil spirits from people that were in torment. And people say, yeah, Jesus, he was a good man. Oh, yes. But then you walk a little further down the street and you say, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sir, you've sinned and Jesus came to save your soul. That's why he came here. And he died on the cross of Calvary. He suffered there so that your sins could be forgiven. What kind of a response do you think you would get? You know. Those of us who give the gospel, what a privilege to tell others about the Lord Jesus and how he died for us. What kind of a response do we often get? Shameful. Sad. But let's keep telling people about the Lord Jesus. I was reflecting on the Lord Jesus being born here as a baby. We read a little bit about it in the book of Luke. We read some more in the book of Matthew about when he was a little bit older, a young child. We don't read about it in the book of Mark or the book of John. There's very little about the birth of Jesus, and yet this world at this time celebrates his birth. There's songs. There's all kinds of events. There's services that people go to once a year to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And yet, when the Lord Jesus left this world, just before he died on the cross for me, you know what he said? He said, remember me. What? His death. He wanted me to think of his death. Why? Because his death resulted in my salvation. It proved his love for me. He's my Savior because he died for me. Can you say that? Can you say tonight that Jesus died for my sins? That when he was punished on that cross, he was punished for me. Can you say that? Boys, girls, he died for you. But have you made it personal? Have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus yourself? I used to check my dad's room, my mom's room too, to make sure they were still here. I used to sit in Bible conferences like this and say, what time is it? Is the meeting over yet? I'd get to the last meeting and say, oh, it's almost over. Because I wasn't saved. How about you tonight? Are you saved? Tonight is your chance. tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be too late. Jesus may come tonight. And if you're not saved, you're going to get left behind. That's true. This book tells us that. Or something might happen to you. You know, this morning I mentioned about my daughter and how she's expecting twins and how there's a problem. I didn't know that until this morning. Anything can happen in our lives. I was sitting back there through the day thinking about my little granddaughters and praying for them. You know, it dawned on me. How many kids are here? Do I love the kids? I do. I haven't even seen those little girls yet. They're a pound each. Do I love them? I do. Tonight, God loves you. You're here in the room. I own my love is so little for you, but I desire your blessing. I desire for you to have what I have, to know that your sins are gone, to know that you're going to be with Jesus someday, that you're going to be safe in his arms. I enjoyed what Bruce said this afternoon of taking up the Lord Jesus in our arms. You know, the Lord loves our affection. You know, if you live with somebody and they do all kinds of wonderful things for you, but they never talk to you. They never say, I love you. How sad. The Lord wants our affections. Anyone who isn't saved here tonight, the Lord loves you. He wants you to love him. He loved you enough to die for you. And now he says, I want to be your Savior. Reach out to him tonight. In love, grasp his hand. Accept him as your Savior. I want to read in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, partway through the verse, the angel appears to Joseph, and he says, take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, this is the part of the Christmas story that's left out. He shall save his people from their sins. People don't like to talk about their sins. But it's true. The Word of God says that all have sinned. But it doesn't stop there. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so what did God do? God sent his Son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. What does Jesus mean? It means Savior. And tonight I present to you Jesus, God's Savior for a man, for me and you. If you'll have it. Let's turn the page. Chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to have a little bit of the story. Christmas story. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. Now you'd expect for the king at that time and all the people to say, great, the king of the Jews has come. Wonderful. Verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. So he gets the scribes together and he says, where's this king going to be born? They tell him in Bethlehem of Judea. Because it says so in the book of Micah in the Old Testament. It was predicted that the true king of Israel would come in that place. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and went forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Verse 3 and verse 16, we don't hear much about, do we? We hear about the wise men. We hear about the gifts that they brought to present to Jesus, but we don't hear that when the wise men arrived in Jerusalem, that Herod the king was troubled, and that the people in the city were troubled as well. We don't hear that, but that's the truth. You know, it's kind of like the world is selective. They only want to hear some things. And are you like that tonight? Are you selective? You want to hear that God is love and that God is good, and you breathe his air and you eat his food and you drink his water and you swim in his lakes and you ski on his mountains and you say thanks. But what about God, his all-seeing eye that sees into you? Can see even your thoughts, let alone the things that you do. Are you here tonight saying, I want all the good from God, but I don't want anything else? Tonight, young person, have you left the Lord Jesus out of your life on purpose? Verse 16. When Herod finds out that the wise men didn't come and tell him where Jesus was, what did he do? He sent his soldiers, and they went from house to house with their swords, and they killed the children, the men children, I think is more accurate, the little boys all over the land. He wanted to get that king somehow that was born, and he wanted to remove the Son of God. He didn't want any challenges to his throne. But what had God done? God had communicated to Joseph in a dream. Joseph took Mary and Lord Jesus down into Egypt, and he was safe. God's provision. Think of the sorrow in that country. Just think for a minute. You know, I've enjoyed seeing the little children here at this conference. And parents, keep bringing those children to meeting. Yes, they make noise in meeting. That's okay. They're hearing the Word of God from their littlest days. Let them learn to love to come to conferences. Let them learn to love the saints of God. Think of these families. You know, I was looking at the little kids today. Can you imagine the mothers and the fathers and the sorrow when those soldiers came with their swords and killed those children? That's the world we live in. This man wanted power. He says, I'll kill all the children. He didn't care about the parents. And tonight you have an enemy. Don't kid yourself. There's someone that's saying, don't listen to that man. Put it out of your minds. Tomorrow we're going to the beach. There's lots of fun things to do while we're on vacation in California. Whatever it is that he's putting before you tonight, saying, don't listen. It's not important. Put it out of your minds, boys and girls. Tonight Jesus is saying, I love you. I died for you. I want to be your Savior. I gave my life so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. He wants you to accept Him as your Savior tonight. You know, the Lord Jesus was hated even as a little baby. The world doesn't like to think about that. But He was. God delivered Him. And the Lord Jesus came with Joseph and his mother. And He settled in the land of Galilee and lived in Nazareth and grew up there as a boy. As a young man, he was a carpenter like his father. He wasn't appreciated. We learn that even his own family didn't care for him too much. And the Lord Jesus lived here a perfect life for 30 years in this world. The only man, the only boy, young person who never sinned, who never said a bad word, who always obeyed his dad and mom, who always was a joy to the heart of each person that talked to him. And then, when he was 30 years old, he began to preach in the land of Israel and to tell people about his Father, God. He told them about the love of God. But in his love for them, he also told them about the holiness of God. And tonight I would tell you the same thing. I would tell you that it is very true that God is a God of love. This book tells us so. God is love, it says. But it also says that God is light. God is light. God can see everything. He knows everything. That's solemn, isn't it? A little aside here. One of the fellows that works for me said to me the other day, he said, Paul, why did you get saved? Did you get saved because, and he's analytical, he said, did you get saved because you were overcome by the love of God? Or did you get saved because you were afraid of your sins? I said, I got saved because I was afraid of my sins. You know, the wonderful truth is that the gospel is the story of God's love. But if it's rejected, then God's judgment hangs over each person who rejects the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I knew I had sinned as a boy. I'd been at lots of meetings like this. I knew that as a sinner, I deserved to go to hell. God weighed that on my soul. And there was a day when I got down beside my bed and I told the Lord Jesus that I was sorry and that I wanted him to be my Savior. Boys and girls, have you done that? The Lord Jesus knew about every one of my sins, and I knew it. There were nights when I laid in bed. I couldn't sleep. My brother'd be sleeping in the next bed beside me, and he was saved, and he went right to sleep. But I couldn't sleep because of my sins. I remembered not all of them either. I remembered just a few. But I knew I was guilty before God. I came to him. Thank God. Now I know his love. His gentleness, his compassion, his goodness. I'm so thankful that I'm a Christian. Well, the Lord Jesus lived here as a perfect man, but as I said, he was not appreciated because he displayed the goodness of God, but the holiness of God too. Let's turn over to the 8th chapter. In the 8th chapter, we learn a lot about the Lord Jesus. We read about him cleansing a man with leprosy. Oh man, wouldn't it be great if you were a leper and Jesus came and cleansed you from leprosy? Or if you were limping around and could hardly walk and Jesus touched you and you were all better? Wouldn't it be great tonight if a sinner came and touched the Lord Jesus and said, I want you to be my Savior. And he saved your soul. That's what he can do tonight. May someone reach out to him tonight. But you know, there was people who had all kinds of diseases and difficulties, fevers, and possessed with devils. We're just going to read a story in verse 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. This story has often amazed me. Every time I read it, I can't believe it. Here's the Lord Jesus. He meets these two men that are exceeding fierce. You know, it tells us in some of the other Gospels, it tells us that people had chained them up. And these men were so violent that they couldn't keep chains on these men. Why? Because of the devils that were in these men. The power of the devil had overtaken these men. And they were desperate men. People were afraid of them and terrified. They wouldn't even go the same way where they lived. They stayed away from them. They were menaces. They were delinquents. They terrorized the community. Jesus, because his power is so great, was able to send those devils out of those men. He cured them completely. You know, they were sitting enclosed and in their right minds. They were delivered from the power of the devil. And the devil said, just let us go into those pigs over there. Don't just send us nowhere to the unseen world, I guess, to be away from God somewhere. Send us into the pigs. So the Lord says, go. You try to picture this now. A hillside with 2,000 pigs. Big pigs, little pigs, I don't know, but pigs up on the hill, grunting away and feeding on the hill. And then these evil spirits take over those pigs. And what happens? They run madly, violently down the side of the hill. And they're choked in the sea below. Think of the noise, the thundering noise of those animals crashing down into the water to their death. Think of the squeals of them drowning in the ocean or the sea. They that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. So here we have the keepers of the pigs. They go into the city. Guess what? We lost the whole herd. They ran down the hill. And others come and say, yeah, but guess what? Those two menaces to our community, those men with the devils, they're cured. Jesus came. He cast out the devils, and they have clothes on, those men. They're not violent anymore. They're in their right mind. Jesus cured them. So the whole city comes to Jesus. And when they saw him, and when they saw him. You know, this is a meditation that I've enjoyed for a while. When they saw him. You know, we read about that in Isaiah 53, and we're out of time nearly. You know, it says, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we would desire him. When they saw Jesus, you know, he wasn't some huge sports figure, some muscle man, some amazing looking person. He was just a loving man, a tender man, a kind man. Nothing for the eye to see that would attract to him in a physical way. So what did they say? They besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. What? A man who had just sent evil spirits out of the menaces of the town? The menaces were clothed and in their right mind. And the unclean pigs were more important to the town. The money was more important than these two men being delivered from the devil. Can you believe it? And yet in this world tonight, what's important? Let me ask you, what's important to you? Is your soul important to you? Do you care where you'll be when you leave this world? Tonight, the Lord Jesus is offering you salvation. He wants you to accept him as your Savior. But you have to make a decision. You have to decide what to do. These people in this town, they made a decision when they saw Jesus. They said, the pigs are more important. Tonight, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about how the Lord Jesus died on the cross for you and that your sins can be washed away? Is that what you're thinking about tonight? Or are you thinking about something else? In a million years, will it matter about that thing? For all eternity, I am going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say that? Or is the next video game, the next thing you want to do, the next course you want to take at university, whatever it may be, is that what is filling your heart tonight? When they saw him. Tonight you've got the privilege of seeing the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus as the one who came to die on the cross of Calvary. Let's turn over just to the book of John. In the ninth chapter, there's some more times when the Lord Jesus saw people. Like that lady with the issue of blood when he saw her. When the Lord Jesus saw the people, the sheep that didn't have a shepherd. Let's turn over to the book of John. John chapter 18. In verse 38, Pilate, the Roman governor, the Jews, the religious leaders, wanted to get rid of Jesus. They'd abused him all night. They brought him to the Roman authority. And Pilate's conclusion to them was that I find no fault in him. Again, in the 19th chapter, in the 4th verse, Pilate says again, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him. Crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him, and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours. We'll pick it up in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Tonight, this is the story of the Lord Jesus dying on the cross. The Lord Jesus suffered at the hands of man and then at the hands of God in those 3 hours of darkness that we read about. When the sins of each person who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ were put upon him and he was punished for them. But then we have this scene that I just read about of how the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And then what happened? That soldier was commanded to go and break the legs of the thieves. So he did. First thief died. He walked around the cross of the Lord Jesus, and he broke the next thief's legs, and that thief died too. And then he came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already. That thief, or that soldier, he took his spear, pulled it out, and his last bit of hatred to the Lord Jesus, he put it into the very side of the Lord Jesus. Forthwith came there out blood and water. Can you see it tonight? Can you see a man dying on Calvary's cross for you? Or do you see something else? Something else in this world that is more important to you. Tonight, the Lord Jesus has his hands outstretched in love to you. He wants to save your soul. He doesn't want you to go to hell. I want to tell one story. Where I used to work, there was a man that I knew well. He was a well-off man. He had a nice cottage. One day he decided he would go out in his canoe. He went by himself. He was in the back of his canoe and he was paddling along, enjoying the scenery that God had made, has made. He had a heart attack. And he died. He drowned. You know, I went to his funeral. And I worked in a big office. There was over 100 people that worked there. And I thought that everyone from the office would be at this man's funeral. I was wrong. I was there. Some of the support people were there. A couple other Christian men that I worked with were there. And you know what? Most of the guys that I worked directly with weren't there. Because they couldn't face death. They were living for now, for things, for cottages and boats, fast cars and fun times and the good life, as this world calls it. They weren't at the funeral. You know why? They couldn't face it. What if it was them? Let me ask you a question. What if it was you? They chose to leave God out of their life. If there's someone here and you've left God out of your life, tonight, the Lord Jesus' hands are ready to take you up. He wants to hug you, make you his own. Will you have the Lord Jesus tonight? He's the Savior of sinners. Blessed Jesus, shall we pray? Lord Jesus, let us know the hearts of each one of us here. If there's someone tonight who has never accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, we pray that they may accept him tonight. We think of the dear children, many from Christian homes. Lord, we cry to thee that they will not sleep tonight, that their sins that are separating them from thee will bother them such that they will come and have their sins forgiven. And Lord Jesus, the story of the cross, may it have touched a heart tonight that love that was so fully shown, so that it will come to thee too. We ask for thy blessing and thank thee for our time together. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.